If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Come and rub on my abs.
Come and rub on my abs.
They are sparkly new.
They are sparkly new.
From the programs at Mind Pump, bundled up and discounted too. Come and squeeze on my butt.
Come squeeze and squeeze on my butt.
Have a giggle or two.
Have a giggle or two.
People talking like, where'd you get that bod? Mind Pump made it new.
Come to mindpumpradio.com. Click the big yellow button and sign up now. Hey, you guys want to hear something funny?
What?
So I got, how funny is this? It's been almost, 6 months or plus, no, 7, 8 months now. My girl for my birthday's in November. She ordered me is it Cardillo belt? A weight belt?
Oh, yeah, the weight belt.
It's Cardillo, right? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep. Cardillo. Are those the ones that sometimes people will have like shit written on the back?
Yeah, yes. Okay, so, and you know, she's got it like all like branded really cool, you know? So she'd, and the, here was the thing. Originally, she was doing like Level Up and this and that, and then we ended up launching Mind Pump, and it took off, and we've been having so much fun with that. She's like, so she wanted to change it. All this, by the way, like she hasn't been telling me she's doing all this stuff. I haven't seen what the draft looks like or anything. She just said, you know, hey, happy birthday. Got
you this
belt.
She's been working with me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So
I'm not in the loop, but whatever.
You're worthless, bro.
That's true.
Nobody sends you files.
You have nothing to contribute.
That's
to
okay.
So she's been going back and forth on this.
Voice.
And you know, she's been really frustrated because it takes a really long time. First of all, they take long just to get anyways because they're all customly stitched and nice. And I guess supposedly she's got all this extra stuff on it that makes it really expensive and nice that she did, right?
Is it bedazzled?
I don't know.
Please tell me it's
totally bedazzled.
I don't know if she bedazzled my
dazzled.
You know, there's nothing worse than getting a gift like that that you're like, you know what, oh God, I have to tell you guys another story. You want to hear a better, even better story? You just reminded me of something. I'm just thinking of getting a gift like
you
from a girlfriend.
Dazzled it?
From a girlfriend. And then you're like, what do I do with this, right? So I had a girlfriend one time. Oh, God, she's going to hate me. Justin, you know who this is.
Oh, yeah.
So she, for my birthday, and I'll get back to the other story in just a minute. For my birthday, she gets me this. She gets me a blanket. And it's a, I don't know.
Like a whoopee?
Like a big throw blanket. And I open it up and it's a.
Don't tell me.
It's a huge picture of herself laying on the beach.
Oh.
And I'm like 25 years old or like
awkward.
That.
Awkward.
And I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, when am I going to, my
like,
boy, if my boys see me with this, they are going to fucking
they
rip into me, dude. Like
give you there's a new no asshole.
And she was like so excited to give it to me. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, what do I do? You know what I'm saying? Like, am I really going to walk around, cuddle up with this blanket with my girlfriend on a huge fucking 6 foot?
I don't know. That's creepy. It's like, could you imagine waking up to that in the morning, half asleep? Like, oh, sure.
Oh, dude.
You know?
So bad, right?
That's she might have beat you in the whole narcissism there. She's like, yeah. Hey, honey, here's your gift. It's a picture of my face.
Right.
Because I'm so fucking hot.
Think about me all the time. Yeah. Yes. Okay. That reminded me of this story. So anyways, back to my weight belt story. So, you know, my girl's been going through this back and forth. It's been this pain in the ass to get this all done. And, you know, she finally told me the other day, she's like, it's finished. It's coming your way, this and that. And this was, I don't know, this was maybe a couple, maybe like a week ago or so. And I followed up on her. I'm like, hey, when's that belt supposed to come in? Is it supposed to come in this week or what? You know, and she's like, oh. She's like, let me call and follow up on it. I don't know why. It should be here already by now. So she calls down there. And the lady, by the way, the company is awesome. They're super customer source. She says that she, you know, they've been really sweet to her and just explained that they want to make sure they get it right because you can't return them. You know, you stitch it and it's the wrong size and this and that. Like, you know, you're asked out. Like, you can't return the belt and it's a lot of money and they're not going to give you another one. So, you know, they want to make sure everything's perfect. So she calls and she goes, oh, the lady goes, oh, my God, I'm so glad that you called us. She goes, we're sending you a belt out right now. And it's a blank belt. And we want you to put it on Adam and have him wear it and make sure it fits because the belt you ordered we don't think it's going to fit you. And she goes, well, I measured him, this and that. And she goes, well, yeah, well, the guy down at the warehouse who actually puts them together and stitches them, he was starting to put it on. He recognized the Mind Pump logo. He's a huge fan of Mind Pump and a follower of Adams. And he goes, there's no way his waist is this big. Send him out a regular one so they can measure it and then they can check it out.
That's rad.
That's awesome.
That's rad.
Is that funny or what?
Yeah.
Like, she was so fascinated to tell me that story. She's like, oh my, because I don't know where they're stationed. They're not around here.
You know you've made it when the weight belt company knows who you are.
Yeah, right. Hell yeah. Custom to the T.
Fuck the Tonight Show. It's all about the weight belt companies.
Let's get this party started.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
All
right.
Let's rock and roll.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All right, it's Mind Pump time. This is Sal DiStefano. You're here with Justin Andrews,
the
Adam Schaefer,
woo-woo,
and Doug O'Russell.
Yes, sir.
The spinner.
All right, so hey guys, you guys see my water over here?
I do. You know what? Are you
alkaline?
No, check out this water, dude.
It's pink and purple.
No, read the freaking label.
It says Alka True.
So I'm not one to get ripped off, but I don't know why I'm such a dumbass when it comes to water. Like, I'll see different waters.
Because it says smart. You think that it's smart water to make you smarter?
No, I'll just see different waters and I'll want to get them. So this is water that's alkaline, which I know is complete bullshit, but I don't know why I bought it anyway. It cost me $4.
What?
Yeah.
Why did you do
that? It's so dumb. I don't know. I know, like, while I'm doing it, I know I'm being completely stupid. And I'm like, I'm going to buy this water that says it's pH balanced, which is going to do nothing
for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to do nothing for me at all.
Is that the pitch on this? Is that it's pH balanced right here?
It's got it's alkaline. It's supposed to balance out your body so you're not so acidic and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
The truth is your body does a pretty damn good job of it. And if you really are acidic, you're probably dying. So, and I don't think this will help you that much. But I got closed, so I bought it $4 for a gallon of water.
Well, and how alkaline would it have to be in order to balance you out?
That's... Bro, if something was really, truly alkaline, you wouldn't be able to drink it. It would burn your face.
I was gonna say, you know? Super acidic.
So I just bought a bottle, a gallon of water for like $5.
You know what's great?
I'm going to drink the fuck out of it.
And I know this without even asking you guys, but I think as a salesman, we are like the biggest suckers or the easiest clothes. I'm the easiest clothes ever.
Oh, dude, I will buy.
Because you can appreciate talent, right?
If yes.
Somebody really has like a great pitch.
You're right.
Like, yeah? Ooh, I didn't think of it from that angle.
I buy shit simply because the dude did a good job.
That's how I feel. I'll buy something that's a shitty product because you sold it to me well.
Yeah.
Like, someone will sell it to me really well, and I'm like, that was pretty good, bro.
I got a snuggie.
I'm convinced, even though I know it's bullshit, but I'm going to buy it just because.
I've actually told people that.
I've actually said
to people, look, your product sucks.
Yeah, this is bullshit, and I'm paying for it.
Yeah, and their look on their face, like, what did you say? I'm like, you know, this product sucks, but you did a pretty good job, so I'm going to buy one. You know, I had a kid come up to my door and sell me, what was he selling? Cookies or something, you know, some little kid.
Yeah.
This kid was a closer. If he wasn't underage, I would have been like, give me your phone number because I'm going to call you when I need to hire a good salesperson because you're a genius. But he's underage, and if I asked his phone number, his dad would shoot me. So,
do you guys remember when there was a big thing going on with the door-to-door sales on the newspaper people that would actually, they were going, and so this was what they did.
Oh, were they casing your house?
No. So I have a client that used to, where she was like head of the Mercury News. And she actually created a division specifically to go in and to basically spy on these managers that were doing this. So the company, Mercury News, I don't know if this is still true and how it still happens now, but back then, this was probably about 8 years ago or so, they actually hired an outside company to come in and solicit their newspaper. So, you know, you guys have all had your doorbell ring before and someone comes in and they try and convince you to subscribe to this new newspaper or whatever. Well, this company that was doing it, they were really successful. But one of the things that they were doing is they started sending these kids up to the door and they would have them like tell these total lies and stories. Dying of cancer and stuff like that. And they only have so long to live and blah, blah, blah. All these stories where people, and they're like, you know, all I need is a I just need you to subscribe. And because it's so cheap, newspaper people were like, oh my God, they would subscribe because it's like,
wow, that's dirty, man.
Yeah. So it was really, really big deal. And she actually hired she asked me if I had knew somebody who needed a job and told me what was going on. I said, you know, it's perfect timing. My cousin's in between jobs right now and he could totally do this. So she hired him to do that. And so every day he'd come home from work and he would tell me like their training. And I remember him going through it. And then like, you know, it took about a week or so after they got through the intro and explained all the basic stuff. And they say, okay, well, you know, this is what you do. You know, and they started telling him.
Teaching him to lie.
Oh, yeah. Teaching him how to lie. And like dirty, bro, just dirty stories.
You know what? I hate people who come up to my door to try to sell me shit. But it's not for the same reasons other people hate. Like, I don't care that you're interrupting me. If I don't want to answer the door, I don't. It's as a parent, and I don't know, Justin, if you're the same. As a parent, I've become ridiculously paranoid. Yeah. Like some random dude comes up to my door to sell me magazines.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're trying to.
What
see
are you doing here? How'd you get here?
Yeah, you're trying to rob my house. Yeah. You want to see if I'm home? Right. Like, I'll give you an example. I was at the mall with my son, right? And we're getting out of the car. And you know how when you drive in the parking lot, the mall, like you could go 1 mile an hour if you turn your wheels, it sounds like you're freaking. Yeah, it sounds like a freaking car chase scene from, you know, a 1965 movie. So I hear that sound, I grab my son, like run to the sidewalk. You just become so paranoid.
Yeah, very jumpy.
Yeah, so when you come to my door, if anyone ever comes to my door, I'm basically figuring out how I can kill you very quickly if shit goes bad. So you probably don't want to come to my door.
Well, and I know, like, the door-to-door, like, Jehovah Witness, and, like, you know, like, we've had, like, all kinds of different, like, random people come by. And it's really hard to get to our house. We're like nowhere.
Well, see, that would make me even more paranoid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm very aware of everybody that's on the street and all my neighbors, too. We pay attention. And we had these two ladies that would always come by. And, I didn't know what they were trying to sell or anything. Like, they just were totally, like, you know, didn't come out in the open with it. And were just asking me all these, like, questions. You know, and then finally got into the religious, like, oh, do you go to church and do you do this? And I'm like, okay. And I'm kind of telling them, yeah, well, you know, I haven't been in a while and blah, blah, blah. And like, close. Now they think that they have a chance. Like, you know, oh, we're going to convert you. And so I basically, I tried to stop, you know, them where they were. I'm like, oh, you guys are Jehovah's. Oh, I'm not interested. I'm sorry. You know, I respect what you guys are doing. You're trying to,
but don't you want to save your soul?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But then they finally leave. And anyway, they kept coming back because my wife was even nicer than me. And it just got to a point.
See, I'm an asshole.
We had to be totally dicks to them.
I'm always.
Like, it got to that boiling point where I was just like, dude, listen, we're eating dinner. You know, you're waking up our kids. It's like the dog would go crazy.
No, I get to the point where if I can tell it's either a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon or whatever, you can tell it's a religious, you know, they're coming to try and convert you or whatever.
Right.
I will say the worst shit.
Yeah.
Just for fun. Like, they'll come up, they'll open the door and be like, you know, have you heard the word of the Lord or whatever? Be like, I worship Satan. And then the look on their face.
I should have said that.
Oh, the look on their face are like, what? But like, yes, I worship Satan. And I'll
come on in.
Yeah, and they'll
let's
never
do a seance.
They'll never come back. Yeah. I have, or what about those people in front of grocery stores that are trying to get you to donate to like save the whales or whatever?
Oh, yes.
I've said some horror. I won't
like
even
Whole
repeat.
Foods, there's always some dude there like with a clipboard, and I'm like, oh, beeline it right in.
Dude, I had Greenpeace that bothered me on the way in, and I fucking shined them on the way out again. And of course, they always make this stupid, this is what they always say to me. Hey, our movement could use your muscles or some stupid shit like that, right?
We were just the other day, we were walking. Remember when that knucklehead said some shit to me when we were walking over on the main street? Same thing.
Yeah, so. Same thing. So someone said that to me, and it was a, you know, Greenpeace thing, and I said, hey, I dumped my motor oil in the drain, and then I walked away. And the look on their face was like, because they'll want to kill you. Like they're so adamant about it.
Oh, my God, you asshole.
And of course it's not true. I don't do that. But I'm going to say that shit to you to make you see. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Hey, what are we talking about today?
So let's. This is a cool subject. So I had someone ask me this the other day, and it's a subject I take for granted because I've talked about it so much.
Because you wrote a book on it.
Yeah, I wrote a book on it. Really, it's the difference between what it means when your body is either erect or flaccid. No, that's not the case. We're not talking about that.
What does it mean?
Sorry, Justin.
Yeah.
It's anabolic.
I keep asking.
Anabolic versus catabolic. You know, what do those two things, what do those two terms mean in regards to...
We're either growing or dying.
Yeah, basically. Anabolic is when your body is,
feels amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Your body wants to build muscle. It's trying to build this positive functional tissue. This is why anabolic steroids are called anabolic steroids, because steroids exist in the medical field that are not anabolic. Like if you take a corticosteroid for inflammation, that's not an anabolic steroid. You could take those steroids all day long and it won't make you any bigger.
Right.
You want, you know, anabolic means pro muscle tissue, just for the sake of this particular episode. And really, for the most part, in regards to athletic performance and muscle, you're either one or the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're either building or you're tearing down, or you're getting rid of muscle. And it's this delicate kind of balance between the two.
Right, that you have to, it's hard to dictate that.
Yeah, so the big question, and here's, let me tell you how important.
Well, this is also why it becomes, and I don't know if you guys are the same way too, but I typically, you know, try and focus a client on one direction or the other at first. And it's not that, and we've talked about this before, it's not impossible to build muscle and to burn fat to do at the same time, but it is much easier to be geared one direction or the other. Like focus, let's be focused on being anabolic all the time, trying to build as much muscle.
Or just lose.
Yeah, or just cut.
Well, what's interesting is when your body is anabolic, it will lean towards burning body fat. So I'll give you an example, right? If you take an individual who's working out with weights, their diet is the same, nothing's changed, okay? They've just been working out for a long time, and you give them anabolic steroids, which give you this hormone signal to make you anabolic, they will build muscle and they will get leaner, because it does this nutrient repartitioning effect where what you eat gets shuttled directly to muscle because you're so anabolic. So being anabolic is good either way. I mean, ideally, just like what Adam said, ideally, shit, if you could build muscle and burn body fat, that's like that's the panacea.
That's the holy grail.
Yeah.
That's where you want to be.
How dare you jump in on that.
Yeah. Holy grail. So what are some things that you guys, I mean, what's obvious? What's an obvious way to make a client anabolic? Just one obvious, someone who's sedentary, doesn't do anything. What's the first thing you can movement. Do?
Lifting weights.
Yeah. Absolutely. Lift some weights. That's how you can become anabolic. But there's some other signals that we've identified that I talk about in the MAPS anabolic program. That's why I put anabolic after it. I wasn't trying to make it sound like steroids. I used the term anabolic.
But you were.
It's like it sells. It's like a low dose of steroids.
Yeah. Exactly.
I've had so many people say that actually put that in the original advertisements.
That's great.
It's like a low dose of steroids. Yeah. I don't know how true that is, but people say it, so fuck it. So there's some signals that happen in the body that promote muscle growth. Now, the first one that we're all familiar with is the damage that comes from exercise, right? When you lift weights, for all intents and purposes, you are not building any muscle. In fact, if we just analyze what happens to your body while you're lifting weights, if we just looked at that...
Stress and breaking down.
Nobody, no scientist, no doctor would ever recommend that you work out, because it looks like it's horrible, right?
Yeah, if you didn't get any benefit or rebuilding, you know, to that, if you just were breaking down and exercising and then you had no benefit, like, come on.
Yeah, you get...
Who's going to be exercising?
Yeah, you get inflammatory markers go up, right. You get muscle damage, you get all these horrible sounding things happen in your body during the weight training process. But really, the breakdown of muscle, your body aims to adapt to it to protect itself from that same potential stress next time, right?
So this is like kind of like the hormesis, right? Where you're introducing these... toxins, or you're introducing these inflammatory things, but it real gradually your body tries to overcome that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then gets better at it and wants to exceed and get stronger as a result.
Yeah, because your body's trying to adapt to its environment. It really doesn't know you're in the gym. It doesn't know you're lifting weights. It just thinks that you're...
It's like overcoming your environment, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your body always wants to thrive. And so the only way to do that is to be, you know, overcome all the forces against you.
Yeah, your body will always do the absolute minimum it needs to do in order to survive. It will never go above and beyond the minimum. Okay? It just doesn't. Like, my body's only going to be as strong as it absolutely needs to be. Yeah, it's not going to be stronger
right.
than it needs to be. I'm not going to like lift weights once and then all of a sudden.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be awesome. Yeah.
If you could just send a signal.
Just sit here and you're just like.
Could you work harder for me, please, this time?
Yeah. So.
It would be super right now.
There's a lot of systems in the body, right? I think the body is an adaptation machine. But I mean, everything from, you know, if you took a piece of sandpaper and rubbed it on the top of your hand until it got a little raw.
Right.
And then let it, you know, heal. And then did that again, let it heal. Eventually, you develop a callus.
Yeah, you're getting callus, yeah.
So if I punched you in the face right now, the very first time I punch you in the face, it's going to fucking hurt like hell and might put you out. I do that every single day. You know, sooner or later, you're going to have a pretty good chin, dude.
That's fucked up, man. But I'm glad you said that because you can overdo it, right? If you punch me hard enough, you'll just kill me. Like, you'll overcome yeah. the adaptation process, right. Which is why when you train too hard, you're not going to, that signal gets overridden by the, I just need to heal,
right.
You know, forget this adaptation, you know, jazz. I just need to heal my body. And of course, intensity is super individual. You know, somebody who doesn't do anything at all, doesn't take much to break their muscle down, but that's the only signal that all other workout plans focus on. They hit other signals that have to do with muscle growth on accident, but they don't understand them. They don't really focus on them. They just know break muscle down, build it up, break muscle down, build it up. But there's other signals. There's other things that happen when you lift weights. We've talked about myostatin before.
Mm.
Resistance training dramatically lowers myostatin in the muscles. Of course, the more intense the resistance training is, the lower the myostatin goes. However, even moderate or low intensity activity will cause a drop in systemic or whole body myostatin. And as we've learned in previous episodes, myostatin is a super potent regulator of muscle growth. In fact, it's more potent than the hormone signals that you get. You can compare two people, one person on a shitload of steroids, the other person on myostatin inhibition, and the dude with the myostatin inhibition won't even need to lift weights. Mm-hmm. He could just sit there and his muscles just get bigger. So
yeah, it's crazy. I mean, just the hormones in general, like talking about hormones and the inverse relationships, and it's so complex because you have checks and balances all over the board, and it works so well to adapt and raise one while the other lowers, shut one off, turn the other one on, you know, and it's just it's fascinating to me when you think about that. What a lot of people, like, you think about always having to lower inflammation, right? I remember, I think you even brought up to me one time a study about athletes and where they actually took Advil or they took ibuprofen.
Yeah, NSAIDs.
Right. And then they looked at the long term as far as like, okay, now training versus the athletes that didn't take pre-workout, the difference there and like why their muscles actually had more growth and strength. It's because, you know, they actually allowed that inflammation to occur.
Yeah.
And they needed that.
Some inflammation is essential. And so athletes who take regular doses, so if you do this every once in a while, it's not going to do anything. But these are over the years where before every single run or before every time you lift, you take, you know, ibuprofen or, you know, naproxen or another NSAID. And they've noticed that they had less lower levels of protein synthesis, so less muscle adaptation, and higher rates of ligament injuries and tendon rupture, because that inflammatory signal needs to be there to tell the body what to do. This is why you'll get only so many cortisone shots in one joint. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll get a cortisone shot from a doctor. Eventually, they'll say, "Okay, we're not going to give you any more,"
yeah,
because your joint's going to deteriorate. Right now, Adam's in getting ready for a show. So you're in this kind of delicate stage. Can you tell when your body's anabolic versus catabolic?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And especially right now, because I'm so ultra sensitive. When I start getting this low a body fat percentage and I'm cutting and depleted right now, I can feel this is where, you know, we kind of talked a little bit on the road to San Jose Pro interview you guys did with me. But this is the part that I just get really fascinated with, because I am constantly playing with foods with the knowledge that I know, whether it be, you know, cholesterol or fats or creatines and, you know, certain types of carbs, whether it be fast acting, slow acting, and the timing of it when I have it and how much of it I have. Like, I am always playing with that stuff because I can really feel it. I mean, I can feel it, not just my energy levels and the feeling of anabolic. So the most anabolic time I have ever felt, even more so than any hormone, anything like that whatsoever, has been just coming after a show.
Oh yeah.
After a show when I have been, you know, for a 6 to 8 week period or however long I've been dieting for, because typically when I'm dieting, you know, I'm keeping myself always at maintenance or lower, you know, for, you know, weeks on end. And even refeeds, if I go into surplus, it's a very minimal surplus. I'm not overdoing it because I don't want to put any extra weight in when I'm trying to cut. So the first day that I do this over surplus, my body is just like, whoa, it hasn't had it. And I'm telling you, I mean, I can feel it. It's the most amazing workout. I mean, I wish every workout felt like that. It's just.
And this is why we advocate mini cuts and mini bulks.
Yes.
Because you get the mini cut, you get the fat loss effects. Once you start to go catabolic muscle wise, you go mini bulk, you take advantage of that anabolic. You know, that's what we say, you get anabolic when you're bulking, but only for so long. You keep bulking long enough, the anabolic signal goes away and it's just fat storage.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that's such a good topic. And I don't know if we, I don't want to redirect us from where we're going, but I think it's, so, I mean, I don't know how many Instagrams I come across of people that follow me or whatever like that, or I see on my thread that, you know, oh, check out my, you know, 4 month or my 6 month bulk, you know, and you're looking at the picture of the guy and you're like, dude, you put like 25, 30 pounds on, and at least 25 of that 30 is, yeah. It's like, yeah. You know, and then what you don't realize is that when you go to cut, how extremely hard it is to hold on to just those 5 pounds when you got 20 to go,
right,
just to get back to kind of where you were. I mean, that's why, you know, you want to put on as little excess as possible. So then when you go to shredding or cutting down, reducing your body fat, there's not a lot that you have to get rid of. If you got a lot to get rid of, it's really tough to shed 20 pounds of fat and think you're not going to lose 2 or 3 pounds of muscle along the
it's
way.
It's a delicate dance.
It's a very delicate dance.
Especially.
Back to that tiny little window you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, where you can shred, but you can also, you know, maintain or even grow.
Well, see, that's the thing. See, that's the thing when it comes to resistance training or working out in the gym. You have to view it from this angle. Am I anabolic?
Mm-hmm.
Don't view it from the angle of, I tore it up in the gym, or I got really sore, or whatever. You have to look at it and say, am I anabolic or am I catabolic? I feel like shit right now, I might be catabolic. When you look at things with this lens or through this lens, you watch what happens to your workouts. You train smarter when you start [S2] Right. [S1] To realize, when you start to look at that paradigm and say, okay, the entire reason why I'm lifting weights is because I'm trying to become anabolic.
Yeah.
There is no other reason why I'm lifting weights. Yes, you might love working out, but let's be honest. How many people would lift weights if they got zero results from it, right?
Yeah.
So, and it's
actually a lot more than you think.
Well, a lot less than do now, though.
Yeah.
Right?
No, for sure.
Right? So you have, you know, break muscle, you have protein, you have muscle breakdown, myostatin levels go down. You have something called mechanical signaling. So check this out. Every time a muscle fibers stretch and contract, that's called mechanical signaling. And that mm-hmm. sends a small anabolic signal to build muscle. In fact, stretching by itself, deep stretching, does have a small anabolic effect. And they've done this studies on animals where they'll take like a bird and they'll put a weight on the bird's wing and have it just in this really extreme stretch position for long periods of time. And they'll build a little bit of muscle as
a
result.
That's sliding filament theory. That's what that is.
Well, that's just how muscle fibers contract. But the sliding filaments, you know, if we're going to get technical, that's part of the reason why muscle damage happens, because those attachments, those little, you know, they compare it to Velcro, little attachments between muscle filaments, fiber filaments will tear. And that's what some of the damage comes from. So you have mechanical signaling. We talked about myostatin breakdown. Then there's something called GLUT4 or glucose transporter 4, which is, if I say this, you guys will know right away what I'm talking about. You know, the window of opportunity, the post-workout window.
The anabolic window.
Yeah. So this is a protein that gets activated within muscle that increases the muscle cell's permeability. So its ability to absorb things like amino acids and glycogen increases, which is why they say feed yourself something that's fast-acting post-workout to take advantage of this GLUT4 effect that you just got from your workout. And this lasts, you know, they say an hour. There's not really any accuracy in terms of how long it lasts, but we do know it's a shorter window. It doesn't last forever. But after you work out, this GLUT4 gets stimulated within muscle, and that's why you eat something post-workout. Or even if you don't, it still makes your muscles more anabolic, that particular aspect of it. And then lastly, there's a hormonal response when you lift weights. Have you guys seen, I'm sure you guys have heard studies like squats make your testosterone level go up and stuff like that. They'll do comparisons between exercises and look at what the hormonal response is. And there's definitely exercises that are superior to others. The king of all hormone boosting exercises is the barbell squat.
Right.
Second place is the deadlift. And you can pretty much, you know, any big gross motor movement, barbell movement, is up there. Any small isolation-based movement is at the bottom. You know, balance and stability is way at the bottom.
Is it the central nervous system response, you know, with the squat, like being that it almost sends out a signal, like it's almost like it's crushing you, like it's, you're dying.
I don't know. That's a great question. There's so many factors, and
there is. You think too. It's when you know you have so many muscles that are having to engage all at once.
Well,
yeah. So, you know, that's another,
your whole kinetic chain. I mean,
yeah, is having, especially on a barbell squat, is completely.
It's a good question, because if we did like a, you know, if you did like a squat clean and press, you're not going to get as high. You're not going to get as big of a boost of test. It's definitely a good exercise.
As a heavy back squat.
That's why I always like those really slow grinding, you know,
the powerlifting
movements.
Lifts.
Yeah. Because you really do feel like you have to, like every little millimeter is a fight.
Yeah. And they do stimulate that response. So check this out, right? So we just talked about, there's five that we just labeled, right? We have breaking muscle down, myostatin, mechanical signaling, glucose transporter 4, known as GLUT4, and the hormonal response. Now, we are limited on one of those, muscle breakdown. You can only break muscle down so much, right? I can break it down. I can hammer my legs today, and I might be able to hit them hard again 48 to 72 hours later if I'm smart and I train properly. I can't break muscle down every hour of every day. Like, if that was the case, then we'd just be in the gym all day long, and we'd all look like, you know, Ronnie Coleman.
Heroes.
Right? You are limited with breakdown. And this is where workouts, you know, the modern bodybuilding routines...
are archaic.
This is where they fuck up, because so many of them are based on, if not all of them, are based on...
Intensity always, dude.
Intensity always, and they're based on anabolically enhanced. And when I say that, I mean athletes who take, you know, external hormones like testosterone. It's based on those people because, you know, when anabolic hormones took the stage, you saw more and more body part splits, especially this once a week, hit each body part once a week type of thing, and they kind of get rid of the frequency because they're always anabolic. So they can tear muscle down and not have to worry about the other signals that we just talked about.
Yeah.
See, those other signals are not as limited. That's the crazy part. Like, I can stimulate, I can do mechanical signaling all the time without doing excessive breakdown. I can drop myostatin without excessive breakdown. I can get GLUT4 to go up a little bit without excessive breakdown. I can affect my hormones naturally without having to break muscle down. And this is where the trigger session concept...
Yeah, absolutely. It reminded me of like trigger session rubber band right away.
Exactly. That's where it came from, because I thought to myself, I said, okay, how can we possibly get those other signals? How can I maximize those other signals without that limiting breakdown factor, which is important? By the way, breaking muscle down for the natural athlete especially is the most powerful of all the signals. Okay, if I didn't break muscle down, I just focused on the other one. If I just did trigger sessions, I didn't do any foundational.
You look like a yoga chick.
Yeah, you're not going to get. You're going to build a little bit, but you're awesome. Not going to get much, right?
Yeah, you look like a yoga chick.
But I thought to myself, okay, I'm already breaking muscle down. I understand that part. How can I maximize those other signals without, you know, hitting that limit of breakdown? And that's where the concept of trigger sessions came up, which is basically low intensity, frequent movement on the days in between the heavy workouts.
Mm-hmm.
And since incorporating that, I mean, shit, it's like people they can't believe the boost it gives you. It's like a little turbo. I mean, Adam, you know, you've been utilizing for a while now, and your body, I mean, it's looking different.
Well, you know,
you look crazy before.
And that's probably one of the biggest factors out of all the things that I have changed consistently. You know, was doing things like that. I mean, just altogether. And I don't know if I want to take this podcast this direction or not, or save this for a whole another one. But you know, we could dive into the periodization of the MAPS anabolic program. I think that's so key, and it goes right in line with what you're talking about, because, you know, part of the body splits before, you know, you were so concerned, you know, oh, you hit one muscle, you destroy one muscle, you know, per week. And my mentality, even as a trainer, even with the knowledge I had as a trainer early on in my career, I was always thinking, it was always about how, you know, if I got really, really sore, then I did enough work, you know, for that muscle for the week, you know, and it, sure, it's enough work to, you know, build a little bit of muscle and look better than this and that. But I've seen the most progression in my workout by, you know, periodization. I mean, that's just
more frequency and period.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what's funny? Some of the top guys that I've met so far in your industry,
yeah,
like yourself and Craig and some of these other guys, when I bring this concept up, first of all, nobody says to me, that sounds crazy. Everybody says, oh, shit, that makes sense. Like, everybody says that. And yeah. I think listeners right now listening are going, oh, that makes sense. But a lot of you guys did some kind of variation of this,
yeah,
without even. Just on your own, like, because you've been working out for so. I mean, how long have you been lifting weights? Forget about how long you've been a trainer. How long have you been lifting weights?
About 15 years.
Yeah, so you've kind of developed that sensitivity to your body to know, oh, this is working and this isn't working.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I first brought it up to you, you're like, oh, I do that all the time. I do calf raises when I take a shower, and I do, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, there's little things that definitely we did. But you know what? Having the structure and it's forced me to be more committed to it, which is in turn made a huge difference, I think, for sure. And I, you know, a lot of guys though, man, I tell you what, a lot of guys in my profession, what I do not, you know, a lot of them train the old school way. And I was just telling this young kid the other day in the gym who, you know, listens to us, and he was asking me about my workouts, and he was paying attention to what I was doing and stuff like that. And I said, you know, it's crazy. The biggest notice, the biggest one for me, it's made a huge difference and has made my life a lot easier, was legs. Being a 6'3" guy, squatting heavy and doing things like that, oh my God, it is a workout, dude. And I don't care how long I've been doing it for, I used to get like nauseous and dizzy and want to throw up, like, and I, in order for me to see gains on my legs, I had to have these workouts. I used to have these 90-minute leg workouts where I just punished myself just to see a little bit of growth in my legs, and then I didn't want to move them all week long because they were so damn sore. I'm wobbling around all the time, and to be honest with you, there's this like trainer pride thing that you can, oh yeah, man, I hit legs so bad, you know, I can barely walk. Dude, I'm never like that anymore. Like, yeah, I get sore in my legs for sure, where I feel it, absolutely, but not like where I'm crippled. And because I in turn want to be back in the gym hitting legs again 2 days later.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm hitting my legs 3 times a week, but I'm not having to do 24 to 30 sets of leg exercises. You know, I'll come in some days, like today will be a leg day, but what I'll do today, because it's legs, and then I'll also hit auxiliaries, I'll come in and I'm going to do squats. I'll do like 8 sets of squats.
Yeah.
8 sets. That's it. 8 sets ain't shit. If I know I'm only getting 8 sets, like, I can get that done. And I've seen the most gains by doing that. And then I'll go do other body parts. Like, I'm going to end up hitting some shoulder work like that, and some chest and some other things, and calves.
You know, it was a huge paradigm shift for me on this subject, was realizing that recovery and adaptation can be separate. Because you just said something like, you get so sore before, and in your mind you're thinking, oh, I'm so sore, my muscles are going to grow.
Yeah, we always think recovery.
Right. No, yeah. that doesn't mean you're adapting. That could just mean recovery.
Yeah.
That could just mean your muscles are going to recover from the damage, but the signal, the anabolic signal, is gone by the time you're done recovering from that ridiculous onslaught. Does that make sense?
So true.
Mm-hmm. So my legs are sore for 4 days. Well, my anabolic signal might only be 2 days long. Well, it ain't going to do shit, because those first 2 days, I'm just trying to repair all that damage. By the time my muscles are done recovering, that signal's kind of gone. And I've lost that signal. Instead of hitting your body a little less intensely or less volume and hitting it more frequently, now you're constantly bouncing that anabolic signal
that's how I feel now. The way I feel now is just as like that anabolic signal starts to dip on my legs, I'm hitting them again. Just as it starts hitting again, that's why it's getting hit like every 3 days or so. My legs are getting hit. And it, like I said, I've seen way, and then I did the same thing with my back. So, you know, you guys know this, that, you know, this last 7 months for this show, the main focus for me was to bring up my legs. My legs, my calves, and my back have been the three primary focuses. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't get to show those off for Men's Physique or whatever. But, you know, for me, at the end of the day, it's I'm always building the physique I want. You know, as much as I'm trying to build a physique that appeals to the judges, at the end of the day, I really don't give a shit what they think. You know, I want to be happy in the physique that I rock on a daily basis. And, you know, for me, it was always bringing those legs up to match my upper body. And for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm really symmetrical, you know, and it's been rough. You know, it's been rough trying to build those legs. And the best thing I ever possibly did was, you know, getting that through my head. And I have to say, like, even knowing it before, until you kind of drilled it in my head, you know, and would kept saying that about, and you said it again just now with the whole recovery and adaptation are different, you know? And it's like, God, that's so true. Cause it, for so long, I'm always thinking breakdown, recover. It's all about breakdown, recover. And I'd even explain to people like, oh, you know, that's how you dictate whether you hit it again. You know, you break down as hard as you can, whatever. And then, you know, if you're still sore, you don't necessarily need to hit it again. You know, wait till you fully recover, then hit it again, whether that's 4 days, 5 days, 7 days or whatever, you know? And that was always my mentality. And it's not to say you can't do that and see some results. I mean, I've built a great physique leading up to that, but the next level for me was getting to the point where I'm always, like you said, trying to throw that anabolic signal towards them. And of course, trigger sessions has been.
You know, when people freak out too, is when I tell them that I'll work out a sore muscle. Oh my God, you can't work out a sore muscle.
Yeah.
You're going to, you know, that's bad. You're still recovering. No.
It's overtraining.
No, I'm not trying to destroy it. But yeah. What I am doing is I'm just trying to bump that anabolic signal up again. Right. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I tell you what, listeners, I guarantee you've done this to yourself before where you were super sore and you had to go do something.
And then you felt hella better.
And
afterwards.
All of a sudden you're like, I'm not as sore.
Yeah.
I feel better. Because look, I'll tell you something out. You take two people. You take one person who beats the shit out of their legs and then lays in bed, doesn't move for 5 days. They just lay there and recover. You take another person who beats the shit out of their legs and then have them walk around every day, stretch, maybe do some hiking, some light movement. I guarantee you the guy who moved is going to build muscle, and the guy who laid there and didn't do shit will lose muscle. Well, not only yeah, will he...
It's the same just like, you know, physical therapy where the first thing that they try and get you to do after surgery is move and start, you know, adding, you know, light intensity, but like get you through range of motion, and they press you on the range of motion. It's not a comfortable experience, recovery, you know, and the success really is determined based off of how you know, you address it right away, and you train your body to then gain that movement and that mobility back. So, you know, if you don't do that, you're fucked. It freezes up on you.
Well, think of the two of the most important things or essential things when it comes to recovering is what? You're talking about nutrients and oxygen, and what gets it there is blood flow.
Movement.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And so,
circulation.
Yeah, more blood flow, more circulation that you get is only means only that much more oxygen, that much nutrients are going to get to that area. Neglecting it, laying in bed and stuff like that, you're getting limited, you know?
And it happens so quickly. Look, you could put your arm in a cast for 2 days, and I swear to God, you'll be weaker and smaller 2 days later. Mm-hmm. That's how fast your body adapts in that direction, especially so in that direction.
It's actually 3 days, 72 hours after recovery. So after a muscle has been recovered, it's not sore, it has no damage done, it's fully recovered. Within 72 hours, atrophy sets in.
Yep. So that's why it makes more sense to hit a muscle more frequently instead of harder and longer, less frequently. And you look, there's always exceptions to the rule. I've met people who are like, no, I you know, I've tried both. Most people, however, will respond better this way. And I'll give you another example. We'll stick to legs because we're focusing on the best exercises for legs, right? Barbell squat, not for everybody, but generally, right? Barbell squat, stiff-legged deadlift, you know, heavy lunges. There's like four or five like best exercises for legs. If you work out your legs once a week, I guarantee you you'll have one or two really good exercises. And because you're gassed and fatigued, you're doing things like leg extensions, leg curls, and all these little tiny movements. If you work out your legs 3 days a week instead, you're probably always going to squat. You're always going to front squat. You're always going to stiff. You're always going to do those super effective exercises, and you can do them. And if you compare the total volume, it's probably the same. Look, if I work out my legs 3 days a week, five sets each time. That's still 15 sets.
I have to tell you a great story because you said this. This is so awesome that you just said that. And it was, this just happened to me. So I haven't done lying leg curls on a machine in probably 6+ months. And I've been doing nothing but barbell squats, deads, and training 3 times a week. And my quads were really sore the other day because I put a lot of emphasis on my quads, and my hamstrings weren't that sore. So I thought, oh, you know what, I'm going to add some hamstring work in with some other auxiliary muscles and stuff. So I hopped on the leg curls. How crazy is this? So I used to always leg press and leg extension and leg curl and donkey kick. And those were like staple exercises in my routine. For me, my hamstrings have always been really weak. You know, I don't do very much weight on there, maybe 80 to 100 pounds or whatever like that on those lying leg curls with strict good form, you know, and that would be challenging for my hamstrings. I get on this machine that I haven't been on for, you know, 6 to 8 months plus. Dude, I'm up by like 75% strength.
Wow.
Without even doing that machine.
Uh-huh.
Talk about if I actually would actually incorporate that with that and adapt to that a little bit in addition to everything that I'm doing.
Yeah, I was your body brought it up to meet demand.
I got into warm up and I put it like at 70 or so, thinking like, okay, that's going to be, you know, 70, and then I'll go 80, 90, 100, whatever like that. And I was like, started curling. I'm like, holy shit, this was so light and weight. I did like 30 reps just to warm up real quick. And then I like jump up to another 15 reps. Like, I'm like, and I kept having to jump up. I thought, and then I'm like at a point where I've never even been there on that lying leg curl machine before. And I thought, wow, how crazy is that I haven't even done that movement? And my hamstrings have become that much more developed just by doing all those big motor movements.
It makes a huge difference. And, you know, just before we close off, look, people have told me, because we cover the subjects on our podcast, like, God, Sal, you're giving out so much of information. Don't you want people to buy your program? Look, yeah, I do want you to buy the programs that we have on our site. However, we are also big believers in sharing ideas and information. And, you know, just to break it down, because people are going to ask, well, how do I use trigger sessions exactly? How does it work? Look, this is what you do. You do this on the days you don't lift heavy weights, okay? When you lift heavy weights, that's the day you lift heavy weights. Don't do trigger sessions. It's on the days off that you do the trigger sessions. And the goal of the trigger session is to maintain a loud anabolic signal that you got from the day before with your heavy workout. And this is how they work. You do short, really short, low-intensity movement, and you do them several times a day for body parts that you want to work on.
So, low-intensity.
Low-intensity. Yeah. If you push it, you're going to fuck yourself. So you're just trying to get... Look, for those of you competitors who get a pump backstage when you're going on stage, it's like that. Like, I'm just trying to get a pump. So let's say your weakness is shoulders, triceps, and biceps. Then I'll do an exercise for my delts, biceps, triceps, real light, get a little pump. It should take me 8 minutes, and that's it. And I'll do that 3 times that day. And you start incorporating that. And you have to be consistent, by the way. Trigger sessions are not like heavy workouts where you can get away skipping one here or there. Yeah. When you're super consistent with trigger sessions, you will be blown away. Now, if you want more details in terms of, you know, really how to utilize them. And
what specific exercises, all that kind of stuff.
I could do 15 podcasts breaking it down, or you could go on and get the program and it kind of breaks it all down for you. But that's in a nutshell kind of how they work.
Yeah.
So... But other than that, I don't know, Doug, how are we doing on time? We over?
We're way over.
Yeah, I think we're
all right. We'll end that there.
I think we're good.
I appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Lots of info.
Say what? How can they get the program? Oh, mindpumpradio.com. That's right. That's where you can find the program. Click on the yellow button.
Do it.
Get it. It's a deal.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time. This is Mind Pump.